check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Tony Perez, and I, too, have a trading problem.
Yes, he does. Welcome, everybody, to Session 417 of the TradeX Podcast. Rhythm of the Network went away. The DAP is always here to stay. Come on, Tony. Yeah, there we go. And as you can hear, we now have, as I was saying, I think we now have a recurring guest, Rocky.
I think he's officially graduated to friend of the pod status.
Yes. Yeah. So,
yes.
And new TA5 participant.
Yeah, yeah.
Tone, how are you? How are things?
Good, man. I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Before we kind of get into everything, I know you're not super into content, but where can people find your socials, stuff like that? What are you doing nowadays?
Man, I'm just working right now, but you can find me on Blue Sky. Glad to help with any questions you guys have. Tony Perez 34 at bluesky.social. Shoot me a DM if you have any questions. I'll be glad to help you.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think, do we have anything before? Oh, I guess very quickly before we get into news, Tone, how was your first TA5 rookie draft? We kind of threw you into the pool like halfway through the draft. So.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I was at work and then you were texting me and I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll join. And then mid shift, I'm just like, oh, man, I got to try and I'm trying to figure it out on the fly. And like, not a big fan of the MFL layout. Like, it's been a while since last year with the FCE eliminators and everything like that. So I had to figure out everything. But yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I wish I would have had my first rounder, but I mean, that's part of it, right?
Yeah. No, it's about inheriting it. And yep. As some people have who listen to the Wednesday Night Hangout, Russ and Scott Fish and all them, new MFL is like dang near here. So
yeah.
People are unbelievably excited. I know Rocky's an MFL stan, so I'm sure he's very excited for new MFL that's coming. So apparently it's like an actual phone app.
Yeah, but I don't know what it's going to be like. So I'm
apparently, according to Zach and Russ and all them who have used it, it's, you know, sleeper level phone app stuff. Like actual,
no, watch, I'll hate it.
Not like that. I mean, an actual, like, it doesn't feel like a website on your phone like
the
MFL does. So people are very excited. So let's get to
the news.
There we go. Rashee Rice. Ugh. He violated his probation by testing positive for marijuana. He will go to jail for 30 days. He also had surgery to clean up loose bodies in his knee and will be out for 2 months. They said he is not. I loved this part of the news. He wasn't allowed to rehab in jail. I don't know how they're going to control that, but and he's in a contract year on top of all of that. So Dynasty's question is, if you want off the Rice ride now, what are you dealing him for? Tony? What are you thinking about Rice right now?
So I actually traded for Rice about a week ago.
Oh no!
Before any of this news, obviously, and I paid. I thought it was a pretty good deal, actually. So I paid Travis Hunter, wanted to get out of that business.
Yep.
And Jalen McMillan for Rice.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
with this news, I love that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think it was worth it personally for that one. I think I'd probably be right around there now having heard this news. So, I mean, we'll see. I just wanted to get out of the Hunter business. I wanted to get off that ride, and I got on the Rashee Rice side, and I'm kind of regretting that kind of now. But I mean, I think he's going to play this year, so that's not an issue. But next year is when I think it's becoming a little bit of an issue on suspensions and stuff like that.
I don't love people throwing Josh Gordon and Justin Blackman around his name already. So
yeah, been seeing that too.
Rocky, what do you think? And his other part was, if you're buying him low, are you willing to pay that price too? So
I would probably buy, and I'd probably want a little more than what I would buy him for. I think he's probably worth a high 27 second maybe at this point, just because of everything. Not to mention the fact that we don't know Mahomes' status right now. I mean, I know that's just this year. Mm-hmm. But still, and like, I agree with Tony. I think he's going to play. Mm-hmm. But we still don't know for sure that Rashee Rice is going to play, like, given all his issues and stuff. Yep. So there's a little bit of that, too. So I'd probably want a second plus. I wouldn't expect, especially a 27 first, I would not expect for Rashee Rice, right, because of how everyone's valuing the 27 class. And I would be okay taking less than a 27 first, but I'd probably want more than a single second, or a player that's worth more than a single high second.
Yep. I will give you a real life example. When the jail news came out, I got an offer from friend of the show, Tommy B. Andrews, for Rice straight up, and I turned it down and said, I don't think that's enough. Like, I'm kind of committed to Rice at value. So I don't think I mean, I guess real quick, would you guys have done that? Would you have given Rice for Andrews, Mark Andrews, in tight end premium?
No.
Yeah. No. I think I'm riding it out.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah. I think Andrews is good enough, and he's too old.
No. Yeah. He's almost 30. So, and just as I quickly look at Football Guys, just, they obviously, this, he's going to fall, but Rice is at 15, and then it goes McConkey, AJ, T. Higgins, Adunze, Flowers, Burden, Carnell Tate, Devontae Smith, and then we're at Jameson Williams at 24, and I think that's where I'm starting to have that conversation.
Yeah. Like,
I think I'm taking all of those over Rice.
I was thinking the same exact thing. Everybody you said.
Yep.
Because after that, it's Brian Thomas, Jordan Tyson, Marvin Harrison. Like, I'll take the risk on Rice for that.
Yeah, so those guys are risk too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay, we're going to do this in 60 seconds because I know Rocky's so tired of talking about him, and you guys already kind of did it. I don't think I was on the show, though, so we're going to do this very quickly. So, Aaron Rodgers, one-year deal with the Steelers. Yippee! it's official now. I think you guys talked about him when he did the visit. I don't think I was on, but
I think you're right. Yeah.
Very quickly, Tone, would you trade a contending second for Aaron Rodgers if you needed a third QB?
No, I'm out on Rodgers. He's just not somebody I want to cheer for. So, no, I'm out.
That's fair. Rocky, same question.
I would probably trade a contending second just because it's so late. And I've always said,
like, the top, right? Like, if you're 11 or 12. And
yeah, like I've always said, even in the best classes, which I know 27 is supposed to be, basically – I only really care up until about the middle of the second round, and then every class after that is a crapshoot. So if I can get a starting quarterback, even for just 1 year, even if he's mediocre for like even like the 210, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. I will say a couple of things I've heard since the news came out. Mike McCarthy had a top 20 or had a QB score more than 20 fantasy points per game in 17 of 18 seasons. The only time he didn't was when Dak got hurt and the Cowboys had the little carousel with like DiNucci and Rush got hurt and all those other guys. So that was the only time he didn't. I think we're about to go 17 for 19. I'm not saying that. It's just a stat. This can't be worse, right? Like he has more help than he did last year. His line is better than it was last year. He has another running back in Dowdle. I mean, this is probably fine, and it's his coach. So, sure, I would trade the contending second, and I am going to put Rocky in a box. Tone, watch this, Rocky. Would you rather have Rodgers or Geno?
Ooh,
ew.
Put them both in the trash pile.
I would rather have Rodgers. I have always been pretty down on Geno, even that one year he did good. And not that Rodgers did anything special. I mean, he was very – I just looked up to refresh my memory, and, yeah, he was very, very mediocre might be kind last year. But like you said, I do think, the surrounding cast is probably a little better. And I think, like I said, I don't see Geno doing a damn thing this year. So,
no.
And Rodgers, I believe, will at least start every game this year and get you hopefully at least 15 points most weeks, which is not great, but if you're QB3, it's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Tone, would you rather have Rodgers or roll the dice on Tua going 50-50 with Penix?
Ooh.
You have to make it now. You don't get to see if Tua starts.
I think Tua is going to start. So, but for how long is the real question?
Right. He's going to have the shortest of leashes
for sure. Man, yeah. In that case, I'd probably go Rodgers. Unfortunately, just more stability.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't get Tua, by the way.
I know. Me either. I knew you'd take Tua. That's why I didn't ask you.
I figured.
Neighbors had a second surgery to remove scar tissue from his knee. I'm not worried yet, but I just watched friends of the show, Dave Kluge and Jeff Bell, were doing an NFFC draft. And in third round reversal, Neighbors made it all the way to like the 311 and in redraft, which is just bananas to me. So, Tone, should we be worried about Neighbors yet? Or are you worried?
I'm worried. Plays at MetLife still. So, yeah. I mean,
that's valid.
that knee issue is never going to go away if he's still playing there, unfortunately, in my opinion. But I don't know. Where he's going in that draft, I think, is reflective of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tony made a really good point there. The only thing that I think he'll be fine probably to start the season or close to it. But I hadn't even really thought about that the reputation of MetLife and what that could do. Like, re-injury is the bigger concern, more so than do I think he'll be ready and be playing like Malik Neighbors. Like, I'm sure he could get off to a slow start, but I think he'll be fine as long as the turf monster doesn't rip up his knee once again.
Yep. The schedule came out last week, as everyone knows. The Giants' bye is in week 8. Do I think they will wait that long? Probably not. But if you put him on PUP, it's 4 games, right? So that would bring him back at the Commanders in week 5. So I could see that. I could see them being ultra cautious with him.
Yeah, just given like these multiple like reports of like this, and the cane report. I believe there was reporting.
Yeah, he's on a cane. Oh, this was a couple months ago. But yeah, I mean, who knows if he still is? But
oh my, I hadn't heard that. Good.
I'm looking.
Yeah, I don't know that he still is, but yeah, in like March, he was like, there was a report that he was walking with a cane.
I'm looking at the schedule right now. I think they're going 2-2 with that, with or without Neighbors, because they play the Cowboys at home, and the Cowboys always beat the Giants recently. They go to L.A. to play the Rams, and then they have the Titans and Cardinals back-to-back. I think they're going 2-2 without him. So with or without him. So I don't know why you wouldn't rest him. But I think for the sake of Dynasty, he's not in that first tier anymore for me, though. I think he's out of that. Like the whole Jefferson, Chase. I mean, he was in that tier 6 months ago. He's not there anymore, at least for now. So
what would you give to acquire him?
I would need a player. I'd have to give a player and probably a first. I wouldn't give two firsts for him, though. Okay. It would have to be something along the lines of, like, someone I don't like plus a pick. Like, I'm just staring at it. Like, Addison and a 27 first. Does that get it done?
Whew, man. That's a
not
wild.
For me, but I could see it.
That's wild. That's the price that came to mind for you, and like that's wild that it's gone. Let me ask you,
Devontae in a first, Smith.
I'd rather have the Devontae side, to be honest. Yeah, if AJ's gone.
Yeah, and I think a year ago you're not saying that.
Yeah, exactly. I
agree, but AJ's was there a year ago.
No, yeah, I know. I'm just
Yeah, I mean, any of the rookies this year, I get it. Like Tate and Tyson, I'd trade all of them plus a first for Neighbors just out of pure talent. But yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see. Camp's going to be ridiculously important for him. Mm-hmm. And there's a question on that later. Like, what do we care about in camp? Neighbors running at all is one of those things we're going to care about at camp. Scadabo said he's ready for week one. That's good. He had like one of those weird compound fractures that was more than like a broken bone. So it sounds like he's fine and good to go. Stefanski said he will split reps between two and Penix. It's going to be a real QB battle, and that's really gross. And Jacoby Brissett is missing OTAs. I love this story. I love Jacoby Brissett holding out. It's just like the greatest thing ever. Get your money, King. Let it happen. All right, Tone. Do you want to do trades or listener questions?
Let's do listener questions.
Cool. Listener questions. We start with Haywood Almanac, who will be our guest next week. As of right now, who is the one player you are absolutely not drafting? I think he means a rookie draft. He didn't specify. And then what's the over-under line set for Frank on trades before the season starts? He said 6.5 in his tweet. I'm past that already, I think. So it's probably double digits at least because June gets really quiet. Who is one player you're absolutely not drafting, Tony, in your rookie drafts?
Let me look here. I've been staying away from Bernard. Don't have any Bernard.
Jay Mike's going to hunt you.
let's see who else here. Cooper. I don't have any Cooper as well. So I think those two. Oh, and Sadiq. I'm not touching Sadiq.
So no Jets. And
no. Yeah.
No Jersey.
I can't blame you for that.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Sadiq. I did like Cooper at Indiana, but just not a good spot for him with Geno there. And I mean, Geno looked horrible last year for my Raiders.
Yeah. Rocky, do you have anyone?
I do. For me, and I know he went to a good spot with good coaching, but I still don't like him. And especially where you have to draft him, it's Ty Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If that counts, then that's my answer.
He's a first rounder.
I know.
In most drafts. So, yes, he is the one player I'm absolutely not drafting.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm out on him, too.
I've seen him go 112 or earlier in the majority of drafts.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did Russ update this? Hang on. Where did he go in?
Yeah, if he was like a second rounder, I don't even know if I would have mentioned him, but he's going late. I mean, I know it's not a great draft, rookie draft season this year, but. That's more than I want to spend.
I have him 209 in my rankings. So
My
he almost universally goes in like the 111, 112, maybe 201 range.
Do you know what's weird is I never picked Emmett Johnson. I don't know why. I always stared at the board and always picked someone else. So I guess that's my answer. But like a lot of people like him, and yeah. I get it. But
yeah, I've actually got a decent amount of them, mainly just on situation. Like when Mahomes is back, Reed. I know, like, but it's still potentially a good offense if everyone's healthy. And
if he had gone to Minnesota, he's a first rounder. Like,
yeah. And you're getting him at like a lot of times at like the 209 that range. So I actually have a decent just because I like to draft running, like even backup running backs in the second, in the late second, mid to late like, second. Early third.
I know I'm going to get yelled at by Zach Reed tomorrow when he hears this, but I was taking Catron Allen over Emmett Johnson basically every time. And
I was the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get both sides of that. It's I get it.
Because he has the, like, I get Bill is there, but Allen has the clearest path to leading. It's funny. I'm staring now at this ADP tone. It's at the bottom of the show sheet, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's Chris Bell going ahead of Jeremy is interesting. Singleton going ahead of Emmett Johnson. So tone for background. This is all 11 TA drafts compiled ADP.
Yeah, and Simpson's at 110 in this ADP.
I don't get the Singleton one either. Like that dude, like didn't he like really mess up his ankle like bad?
Yes, and I think because I have taken some of Singleton, my thought process on that is he's not playing this year.
Yeah,
could be the leader next year, which is fine by me.
Yeah, I get that.
It's not like they have much there. Yeah,
I guess I should mention this because it's 2027 class, and he's like the Breece Hall of this class. Ahmad Hardy got shot at a concert. So first off, like prayers up for him. I hope he's better. I think he got shot in like somewhere that's not going to mess his career up forever. But yeah, that's going to be something he has to recover from, obviously. And let's stop shooting people at concerts, please. But I'm not getting into that now. I think that will affect some things, though, if Hardy is not coming back full go, because he's like the number one running back in that class. Yeah. So, anyways, Cooper going 111, I think is 110, 111 is where that is blowing my mind.
Coleman, Jonah Coleman's another guy that I'm not touching.
Oh, like, I've got him everywhere. He is my dude this year.
I wasn't a fan of the player watching him. And then the landing spot was, I know Sean Payton's not calling the plays in Denver anymore, but I don't know. I like Dobbins more as a player over him. I guess I'd probably put Coleman and Harvey neck and neck.
Yes. That's my point. Is Dobbins has never been healthy and Harvey stinks. So let's give Coleman a shot.
Harvey got the second round. He was second rounder last year, right? Yeah. Second round draft.
I don't think that matters to Peyton. I don't think Peyton cares about that.
I think it does though. Like he that dude loves to smell his own farts. And I've said that like he hates to be seen as being wrong with that pick, in my opinion. So
yeah.
I think he might just force Harvey into the number two role.
Yeah,
and certainly like forced him in the red zone way too much for my J.K. Dobbins shares last year.
And right. By the way, that's what Peyton wants to use Coleman for. Yeah. Like, that's bad for Dobbins again. And it's just, I don't own any Dobbins. I know Rocky owns all the Dobbins, so
kinda.
I've taken a lot of Coleman though. That's probably the guy I've taken the most of. Him and Stowers. I've been in that spot a lot, kind of 109 area. So
I feel like I've been all over the place. I don't know if there's any one guy that I have a ton of. I feel like I've been taking a little bit of everybody except Ty Simpson.
I've had so many rookie drafts over the last week. My like eyes are bleeding, especially now with the eliminators going on. I have no idea what I'm doing. I think I have like 14 drafts going right now, which is crazy. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. We can just move on to the next question. Leif Pedersen, and Tone cheated and answered this question.
I did, man.
Don't you know the show? You listen every week.
It was just a reflex, I guess, when I saw that. I was like, yeah, let me go ahead and answer this now.
Leif's question was, I've got a dynasty startup auction coming up. Any players or offenses you believe to be undervalued? So, Tone, why don't you say again what you said on Blue Sky?
I said Jacksonville and Atlanta.
Yeah, that's who you said.
It's funny you say Jacksonville because you said player or offense. And the guy that came to mind for me, and it's funny because I have had like none of them. I think I still only one shares. I think people are too out on Brian Thomas Jr. at this point.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Parker Washington, to be honest.
Yeah. with the rookie season he had, and I mean, wasn't it announced by the Jaguars that like Hunter's going to be mostly a cornerback at this point?
So the GM or someone walked that back.
Oh, okay.
Like 2 days ago, he said like, just because we're going to play Hunter on more defensive snaps doesn't mean his offensive snaps are going to go down. So basically they're just going to play him 100% of the time, which doesn't seem like a smart idea.
Man, we'll see how that goes. And Hunter was not like lights out before he got hurt last year either. So
yeah.
I still think like I said, it's gone too much. I was not a fan of him or his price after the rookie season, but now I think it's gone so far the other way that he's undervalued.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up. James Gladstone said he is set to play both sides of the ball on the Rich Eisen show on Wednesday. The piece that I think we can expect to see is actually an uptick in corner usage. Last year it was higher volume, higher percentage of wide receiver usage than it was corner. He said, I think we can expect to see that corner percentile and count go up. That's not to say anything impacts his availability and usage on offense. It just means his cornerback usage will increase. He kind of went back and forth on that, though. He said percentile. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. The GM is trying to kind of play defense, but it does sound like Hunter's going to play more defense than he did last time. So,
and I mean, they painted themselves into a corner by not. They don't have any corners. Literally,
they did. Like,
they re-signed one guy. I can't remember his name. They re-signed him, and that's it.
You're right. He has to play. He kind of has to play corner.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of offenses. Am I insane for thinking the Panthers offense could be interesting with Teteroa and two running backs and Brazel and Leggett and
depends on Bryce.
Sanders. It's all Bryce. I get it. Like it's contingent on Bryce, but is this his second year in Canalis' system or third?
Second.
Yeah, so that has game. That's proven itself in the past that the second year in an offense can matter. And that's one that's sneaky.
I looked at
Tet is so overvalued for what he is right now.
For sure. I looked at Young's stats the other day and throughout his career, I think he has six games. I counted. I think it was six of 250 plus passing yards. And like two of those are like 251. He hit like 251 and 252. So he just barely eclipsed that 250 mark.
And I was just looking. I do think the Bears offense could be a little undervalued. Like people are valuing Caleb. And why are you saying no?
They're so overrated right now.
No, but I'm looking
at top five QB and
And Loveland, but the rest of the pieces are not valued very highly at all.
Fair, because no one knows who the number one receiver
is. Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get that. I like this, and Rocky and I used to say this about the Titans running backs. Obviously, this is very different. Like, they're going to be the same production, so take whoever's lower ranked. Like, I think you can do the same thing with Adunze and Burden, right? Yeah. So,
and if the offense is good, one of the running backs is going to be good too.
Yeah, Swift and Menungai. So, I don't like how much I'm saying the Titans because I feel like I'm getting suckered like I did with the Jets last year, but the Titans could be interesting. There's enough weapons on the team. They should do well, but I said that about the Jets last year with Justin Fields and all that, and look how that went. So,
second year quarterbacks can often take a leap. I mean, I'm not banking on it with Cam Ward, but it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. Vikings.
I mean, they have Tyler, better than last year, don't they?
they might,
you know.
So, but is Addison and all them too? Like Jefferson's going to be in a tier of his own, probably for the rest of his career. But like, is Addison and Hawkinson and all those guys too low? If Kyler's what Rocky and I think he is,
if he's what we think he is, then yes.
Yeah. I think we're just giving like, Kevin O'Connell a pass. Like,
you kind of have to. This is an out. This could be considered an outlier, not a trend. You almost
right.
have to.
Right.
He made Sam Darnold a consistently good fantasy
player. Sam Darnold the Super Bowl champion. We can just say that now.
Okay, but Sam Darnold was still a bad fantasy asset last
year. He was. And
he was a good fantasy asset the year he was with Kevin O'Connell.
Yes, he was. Yeah, I think you have to give O'Connell a pass. I mean, McVay didn't fix Garoppolo, and everyone forgot that. So, like, people forget Garoppolo was starting games for the Rams and was not good.
Not
so I think you give him another year, and if he messes this up, then we can really start to have a conversation. But I think this is the best coach Kyler's had since college. So this will be probably what we need. Okay. Kevin at clearly not Kevin says, I'm in a 32 team startup. I call them a psycho on Blue Sky.
Yeah, I saw this.
Starting one running back, one wide receiver, three flex, a super flex, eight bench slots. How do you have bench slots with a full tight end premium? If you were to do a 32 team startup, what would your draft plan be? I wouldn't do one.
Bro. Yeah, I was like,
would it be different from a traditional?
This is studs and duds for me. Yeah, I mean, this is studs and duds because you're not trading.
I think I'm punting running back, right? With only one spot.
You just not to say it this way, but you hope someone gets hurt, and then
right. So like, are you targeting
different from a traditional 12 team or some? No, it's different.
I'm probably going after QBs.
Yeah, you definitely treat it. I mean, there is a super flex spot, but it's only one
with super flex is so freaking crazy.
Well, no, but I think that's just like you don't even need a quarterback. I don't think there's no QB slot if I'm looking at that.
Oh, I see. It's a super flex instead of a QB.
But I like Tone said, I'm then prioritizing quarterback though because they're going to be so sparse across the league. Yeah. Like you're hoping to get one. So if you can get like two good ones,
yeah,
it's like gold.
Imagine being the one-on-one in that. You don't draft for years.
That would be horrible.
You're picking again at 264.
Yeah. 32. You don't draft forever.
Yeah.
Drafted in June.
Yeah. That's crazy. I'm with what Tony and Rocky said. Prioritize QBs. Put running backs in the trash bin. Especially put tight ends in the trash bin. Those especially don't matter. I don't care if it's tight end premium. There's three tight ends worth anything, and that especially matters here.
Yep.
So,
I mean, I would prioritize those guys for that reason. Those three guys. Yes.
Those guys. But
everyone
are
else, forget about.
Yeah. Early though.
Make like the 20th guy if you miss on the first three or something.
That's fair. I more meant like Fannin and Laporta are the exact same player.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. You don't get one of the top three, then just punt until tight end 24 or something.
Yeah, tight end 25 is AJ Barner, and that's he's going to have as many good games as Gadsden. I promise you. Okay. Dynasty Study said, once the rookie draft is over, what's the rest of your offseason plan for your teams? I go to bed. Do you do anything significant like buy low, sell high based on camp reports, or just kind of wait it out till closer to lineup season?
Well,
Tony. or yeah, Rocky.
I was just gonna say real quick, everyone knows how I feel about camp reports, so that's just a non-factor for me. If you ever listen to this podcast, I just ignore camp reports entirely and don't believe anything that comes out of camp, especially if, like, other than injuries, like coach.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, yes, to correct Rocky, neighbors running at camp is gonna be a
I'm more based anything that's verbal and, like, not medical related.
Yes. Tony, anything you care about
after injuries? That's all I'm just looking at injuries. That's all I care about.
Yes. It's always so hard because especially for, you know, we get into Scott Fishbowl season and stuff like that. Like, I kind of take a break from all the TA stuff for like a month and then come back. But as I'm watching it, it's kind of it's very injury heavy. Buying low and selling high. The thing about that is the values are going to be basically the same in July versus May. They're not going to move much short of AJ Brown getting traded, which is going to happen any day now, because it's June 1 is his contract trigger. So I don't think there's much I do. I think, unfortunately, because he gets into this later, this is kind of my zone out time a little bit, and it's kind of doing other stuff and then circling back to it, but it's all injuries. Just hope no one gets hurt and we'll see you in August. That's kind of the whole thing for me.
Because you have reports of like Caleb Johnson getting first.
I saw that today.
It's like, bro, like Warren and Dowdle aren't even there. It's voluntary. So of course he's getting RB1 reps.
Right. Right. And they showed like he has burst. It's like,
And like you said, values are not really changing that much between now and August. You know when values change is when it gets to be late August, early September, and people start thinking about points. And your non-dynasty value, point value guys start becoming more valuable.
I would guess we have 5 trades this week. I would guess this is the high side of what we're going to get over the next couple of weeks. So
probably. And that's mostly because there's still some drafts going on right now.
Yeah. And we'll get into our summer schedule at the end of the show because we probably should give people some heads up about that. Okay. He said, who are the biggest touchdown regression candidates that you're looking to sell high before the season? Any position works, but particularly looking at wide receiver, running back. Dallas Goedert, Dallas Goedert, Dallas Goedert, Dallas Goedert.
Took it right out of my head.
The guy had 11 touchdowns 11, and 40 yep. catches. That's going down. But
you guys talked about him earlier. I'm just looking at the touchdown list. If you can get any good value for him, and I actually had him thrown into a trade recently, but RJ Harvey had 12 touchdowns. We talked about the red zone last year, which was pretty up there for running backs.
Trying to find rushing
and back. Like we were talking about, that could definitely change with how the draft went.
Who did you say? Sorry, I was looking at the list.
Me, RJ Harvey.
RJ Harvey.
About Cook.
I was thinking Cook, but he didn't score as much as you think. He had 12 touchdowns in 18 games, which is fine.
14 total.
I'm sorry, that's good. That sounded worse than it meant. But
I will say he had 14 total touchdowns, which is the list I'm looking at, which is 5th in the league. Because he had two receiving touchdowns.
Yeah. The name I was going to say was Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, I was just about to say it too.
Yeah, he led the league in touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
no Daniel Jones. Like, who's starting for them week one?
Daniel Jones. It sounds.
You
like
think
it.
He's starting for him? Okay. Yeah,
it sounds like it. Are you saying is he 100% healthy? I don't know that, but Jones is starting week one. It sounds like it.
It's just wild to me if Riley Leonard gets 2 games. You know what I mean? Like.
I want to say Derrick Henry so bad, but I'm tired of falling for that. I'm tired of doing this whole.
One of those years will be right.
I know. This is the Tom Brady thing where everyone said he's going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking at the list and there's no major guy that I'm like, oh, this, other than, like you said, Goddard's probably a good one, but that sticks out like, oh, he's definitely not going to score a lot of touchdowns this year.
What about Adams?
That's I thought of that too. That's the only other one I was
thinking. Because they do that pick play that kept working last year, and sooner or later someone's going to figure out how to stop that.
Yeah, like you would think, but that dude is just HOF, you know, like like, you know, I'm tired of doubting that guy until he falls off a cliff. I'm not doubting him or Henry.
That's what I was going to say. If anything, he's more an age regression candidate than the touchdowner. Like, at some point, he's got to start tailing off.
Like, I'm looking at all the guys who led the league in receiving touchdowns. Like, short of Adams and Goddard, it's Higgins, McBride, St. Brown, Nacua, JSN, Juwan Jennings. You can, that's one's obvious, but.
Yeah.
Olave, George Pickens, Jamar Chase, Ferguson, Quentin Johnston. I mean, all these guys are guys who are going to be right back where they were. Chase having only 8 is probably low. So, maybe Pickens. Just, I made a joke in one of my group texts saying I can't wait for the George Pickens for Rashee Rice trade in August. But I just... Because both of them just deserve each other. Quentin Johnston, maybe, but there's no competition in Los Angeles for him. Like, I understand Ladd's there. I understand they have a couple tight ends, but, like, Johnston's role is pretty safe right now.
Red zone until target,
Until they throw Keenan Allen $1 million, like I keep saying they should, but they haven't done that yet.
That's gonna piss me off if he does that.
They're gonna do that. I'm just telling. It would blow my mind if they didn't re-sign Keenan Allen after what he did last year for $1 million. It just makes no sense to me to not do that. You could argue Swift. One person you could probably argue is Kyren, but he's already getting his value beat up a little bit. So. You could say Jacobs, but he's got no competition either. I mean, unless Marshawn Lloyd is going to be stop perpetually being questionable. So,
2 years
Wilson's gone. Wilson's gone. Like, Chris Brooks isn't kicking Jacobs off the field. So, I don't know. It's hard. I think a lot of the people who are going to experience regression have already experienced it. Mm-hmm. And short of, like, you know, to Tone's point, Adams and, you know, the Jonathan Taylors of the world and the Goddards of the world. I think the ones who are going to have regression are pretty obvious. So I think that's hard to sell them for anything big. So, okay. Who's your favorite non-rookie breakout candidate and why? I have to look at the candidates.
I did look a little bit, and I had a couple names I was thinking of. One we sort of referred to earlier, Luther Burden.
Yeah,
I could see happening. I do think, like I said, the offense is, I think, going to be even better. I do think Caleb progresses even more. And the other one, maybe I like even more, is Jalen Waddle.
I knew you were going to say that.
God damn it.
I love dumb stuff, and he's the guest. We should let him go.
Sorry. Well, you both seemed like you were like iffy on a name, right? So I had one ready. I apologize to him. But yeah,
ahead,
I mean, I love
the No, don't apologize.
You
want to
talk about it? Go ahead.
No, that was, I mean, new offense. I mean, anything's better than what he was at. You know, at Miami last year. So,
yes.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Is it cheating to say Devontae Smith? If AJ's gone, like, Devontae's going to be a top 12 wide receiver?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Is this DJ, all? Is this receiver?
Speaking of, what another position, Travion Henderson.
Yes, okay.
I like that one as well. Second year in. I know Ramondre's still going to get some. Yeah,
I can't do that.
But I do think I think bringing AJ makes the offense better as a whole, which helps everybody.
Yeah.
I like Genty this year with a new line. Like I know he had nine hundred seventy something yards last year, but I think he goes well over that. This
goes year. Where I he agree. Should have he's been last like, year.
Yeah, he's valued high, but points wise, actual scoring, yeah.
McConkey. We're gonna have 18 top 12 receivers.
I know.
He could bounce back. Yeah.
AJ Brown. I mean, all these guys could. T. Higgins. With Burrow fully back, I mean, you could say all Bengals. If Burrow's back to 100%, because at worst, when I look at the Bengals, you know exactly what the backup is now. Flacco has signed his greatest deal he's ever going to have. He's gets to sit behind and gunsling to T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase whenever Burrow's hurt. I think that's great. And I think we know exactly what the floor is for the Bengals now. So I think that's someone like Higgins and Chase. Like, obviously, they're not breakouts, but they're probably buy low guys for what they are.
I think Christian Watson could do something this year, too.
Packers.
Yuck. If he stays healthy. You know, like, he's. I mean, that's the big if. He has to stay healthy. They got rid of Dobbs and Wicks. So, target consolidation there. He just needs to stay healthy.
People are so excited about Golden's second year, and I just don't see it. I don't know how Golden can do any better than he did last year. I think he is what he is. But Brocky, I mean, you could say Brian Thomas Jr., given what he kind of already did it.
Yeah, that's.
What about Judkins? I know the Cleveland offense is going to stink, but Judkins is going to get all the carries.
I never like banking on volume on bad offenses, though.
You get that.
I mean, I think he'll be fine. He'll be startable, but breakout. I think might be at least another, like what we actually classify as a breakout might be another year away.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Ken Walker so bad, but I can't. I want to put Ken Walker in like the top five, and maybe I will on bold predictions, but pick a Colt, Tony.
That's what I was going to say.
Alec Pierce or Downs.
Oh god dang. I
know what value it's Downs, but who do you think is gonna, when you look up at the end of the season?
I think I'd probably take the shot on Downs. I'm just never been a Alex Pierce guy.
Yeah.
He's taken too long to develop as a a full route tree wide receiver. He did last year, but I think I'd take the shot on Downs.
Yeah, I think Downs too, just because we all play PPR pretty much, and he's just going to get more volume. Like Pierce is going to have the big games, but Downs is going to be the more consistent guy.
Downs is also 21 spots lower than Pierce in the rankings, which should tell you
that is wild.
Yeah. Should not be that far apart.
No.
Oh my god.
What about Wandale? If we're buying the Titans.
Yeah.
He could be the number one wide receiver on the Titans.
That I don't think he'll be number
for Tate, but
he's the good thing that he has, the one thing he has going with for him is that he knows Tables offense. So I get that.
Yeah. Okay, we can move on. We've given a lot of names. Any roster cut trade candidates you'd be interested in with a change of scenery?
This one is Benson. All you guys, because I have no names for this.
He says Benson, which I guess, but like I don't really like Benson either. It's going to be a running back, probably. Kamara if he goes somewhere, but like Kamara has actively said he's not he's retiring if he's traded. So
about AJ Brown. I mean
I mean he is a trade candidate. I know. I mean if anybody's like a roster cut candidate, I don't like they're probably not very good. So
Cole Kmet is one. Because the Bears have Loveland. But Kmet's not a bad tight end.
Yeah.
I think he plays his role.
Same with roller. Tony's team, Michael Mayer.
Was just going to say that going along with what you just said. If they were to trade Mayer, I would.
Although we've wanted Mayer to be traded for 3 years now.
Raiders like him, man. And I said the same thing last year. If you're in like a two tight end league or something like that, like he's not a bad tight end to have.
Don't play two tight end leagues. That's our number one.
Yeah, I mean, I would Russ play one of them.
Russ's old saying is do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. Do not play two tight ends. Except for two tight end leagues, yeah. I'm trying to think of who else could be traded. I mean, I don't think there is. I mean, all the guys like running backs who were going to be traded have been traded. Braylon Allen, I guess, if he gets it, but the Jets aren't doing that unless like there's something really wrong with him. But
yeah, I don't see like a great name out there.
I don't either. Ray Davis, maybe, but he's in a clog situation too in Buffalo, and I don't see who's going to say we need Ray Davis on our team. We need to trade for him. So it's hard. I don't know who it's going to be. Okay. He says, who finishes the year as the top scoring fantasy running back in Carolina? Wow. Got Southern there for a second. And why is it Jonathan Brooks? Tony?
I still think it's Chuba.
Me too.
He got hurt last year, tried to play through it, which, I mean – shows his toughness, number one, and he was just trying to help his team out. So I think he's got that under control, that injury gone. I think it's still Chuba.
Yeah, I think that's the boring answer. Unfortunately, it's Chuba, and they, from what I remember, they like him a lot. Though, like I remember when they signed the contract extension, it was a whole thing about how he's like a big locker room guy, big veteran leader, all this kind of stuff. And I think he's. I don't see any reason he won't be the lead back. Even if Brooks somehow remains healthy, I think he's probably still the lead guy all year.
It's going to be Trevor. No, I'm kidding.
How does Trevor also say his last name wrong?
No, he doesn't. I don't think he's ever said it. He doesn't. He said, I don't know what Travis is
saying. They are brothers. Yeah. They are brothers, too. That's not like one where it's like, I don't know, like you've seen somewhere they're not completely related. They are brothers, so.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a really tough question to answer, and we might pocket this for next week so Rocky and I can think about it. But he says, what is your ideal positional breakdown of a roster in a league with TA scoring? Do you go volume at running back and take more flyers at premiums? Does that change in leagues with no tight end premium? Well, Tone just got in this, so I don't know if he has the best. He just got into TA, so I don't know if he has the best answer. Rocky, you've been playing TA leagues the longest. Has there been a structure you've been going for? I mean, tight ends don't matter is my one rule, but
that's... Well, I actually generally tend to go for elite tight ends and tight end premium. But yeah, I don't go for the 6 to 10 guys.
Yeah.
But I definitely do try and get the high-end tight ends. I don't really think there is, and it's in part in TA leagues, because it's not actually – he talks about TA scoring, but the other thing that really factors into me is the positional starter breakdown, which is only one of everything.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, you know – pick your favorite way to do it, basically. Like, just for me, it's just get high end players, basically, because you can put them in any spot you want.
Yeah.
Except quarterback. Don't pay up for quarterback.
You guys will think this is funny. I joined Russ's Hogwarts League. He's talked about it in the past. And the team I inherited has Mark Andrews, Brock Bowers, Evan Engram, Dallas Goedert, Sam LaPorta, Colston Loveland, Trey McBride, Dalton Schultz, and Tyler Warren. And I put every single one of them on my trade bait the moment I got the team. So I am consistent in my words. I do action on those words when I say tight end, it doesn't matter. But I was offered like the 108 for Bowers, and I laughed that off. I'm not crazy. So
yeah, you should be keeping the Bowers and Zay McBride too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trade them all. They're just all sitting on the bait.
Yeah.
And then I'll take them off as they go. But yeah, no, of course the tight end hater got the big tight end team. Okay. I don't have a good answer for this. Rocky's been playing a lot longer than I have.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a better answer than what I just said, which is not super exciting, but that's, I think, like I said, I think the one per position matters even more than what the scoring is in this case. Yeah.
Who is the first non-Mendoza rookie QB to start an NFL game, Tony?
Beck.
I knew you were going to say Beck, so I came up with a different answer. So why is it Beck?
I mean, Brissett's holding out. He's going to have a short leash to begin with anyway because, I mean, they want to, A, see what they have in Beck since they drafted him, and B, they're trying to lose games for – well, maybe trying to lose games for a quarterback next year.
Yeah. I'm trying to see when the Cardinals bye week is. I feel like it's early. It's not. It's in week 14. So, wow, nice playoff schedule, though. 15, 16, 17. They play the Jets, Saints, and Raiders. Yep. That's great. We should do a schedule breakdown. I know Rocky doesn't like doing that, especially in Dynasty, but it does matter sometimes. I knew Tone would say Beck, so I am going to say Talen Green in Cleveland. And because it's Cleveland. And I think he's no worse than Shadur and all those other guys. So why not see what you got before you draft another guy and throw him into the pit? Who I saw a mock today for 27 where they're taking that kid out of Minnesota. University of Minnesota, and I'm like, please don't sacrifice that poor boy to he's like an up and coming like gunslinger guy and they're gonna put him in Cleveland. Don't do that. Put Lenora Sellers there. He deserves to be there. Anyways, yeah, I think it's Green, I guess, unless Stafford gets hurt or something like that, but I'm not banking on that. So and then I asked what game on the schedule are you most excited for? I am most excited for the first game of the season. I need point scoring season back. It's only a few short months away. I am an impatient trade addict, and the people who zone out in the offseason don't give me my dopamine hits nearly enough. I'm not going to say it now. We'll say it later. Because Rocky and I are going to take a couple weeks off. We'll get to that. All right. So now it is time for
Trade Addicts Trade.
Excellent. 12 team superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1. And we don't have any TA1 traits. We start in TA7, Jacoby Brissett and the 311 for the previously discussed Michael Mayer and Eli Raridan. What the hell is this trade?
There weren't a lot of trades this week, so this one made it on the sheet.
It's... Tony, what do you think?
Flip a coin. I mean, do you need him? I don't know, man. That probably I'd take Michael Mayer and the Eli Raridan side just because Brissett's going to be insignificant by end of the year anyway.
I think I'm with Tony. I think, yeah, I mean, if Jacoby Brissett was even a more firm one-year starter, maybe it'd be more compelling for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll take the two young pieces in. And like we said earlier, if Mayer ever gets out of Las Vegas and into a more clear starting position, he could take a huge value boost down the road. So,
what if Brissett gets paid? Like if they end up
that's being, why that I'm would taking yeah. Brissett. There's a 1% chance he's a starting QB for the year, and that's right. better than Michael Mayer and Eli Reardon.
For sure. If that happens, I take the
I'm taking the Brissett side yeah. right now for that, just for that reason. Because I think Brissett could even yeah. start two games and that's gonna still score more points than my Mayer and Reardon together. So that's what matters to me. Okay. Daniel Jones for the 207, which became Jeremy Bernard, and the 303, which was Oscar Delp.
This was me, by the way.
I'm taking you to task if this is the side I think you're on. what do you think, Tony?
I guess Jones. I'm not a big fan of Bernard. Like I said, he's the one guy I haven't been drafting, and Delp's a big question mark with all the targets and New Orleans now. Yeah, I guess give me Jones and hopefully he's healthy.
Did we just forget Daniel Jones was a top 10 QB last year? Like, did that just I understand Achilles, this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. The offense didn't get worse. The coaches are all still the same. The line is the same. Why are we putting Daniel Jones in this level of return?
Didn't he start to fall off though? Before he got hurt there, like teams were kind of figuring him out.
Yes, but he's still, when healthy, and I understand people are going to yell at me and say when healthy, he's still a top 15 QB. He's a week to week QB2, no matter what way you cut it.
Even yeah. with the falling off and yeah. a 2.5 point game the week he got hurt,
yeah.
he was QB13 in points per game, not points yeah. in points per game in TA scoring. So yeah,
like, that backs up what you're saying. He's behind Darnold, Goff, Cam Ward. I actually love Goff this year. I heard a stat that Goff's been a top 10 QB. In points per game the last 2 years, and I did not realize that, and that should be treated with more reverence than it is. But he's behind Goff, Darnold, Baker, Stroud. Why is he behind all these people? Like, what did he do last year besides get hurt? And we give all these other dudes a pass. Nix is a top 12 QB, and so is Dart, and both of them got hurt last year. And Mahomes is top 10. I'm not saying Jones is top 10, is Mahomes, but like, all these people get hurt all the time, and we put them all right back in the top 15, but for some reason, Jones gets hurt, and he's 25. So, Rocky, what side did you take after I just ranted for five?
I got offered this as is, and it was such a no-brainer to me when I saw it. I got Daniel Jones.
Good job.
Exactly what you said. And I'm not even a contending team, but for those two picks, it was like in this draft, it was just so easy for me. I think I can get better than this for Daniel Jones potentially yeah. in six months or so.
Yeah. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is going to be top 12 again. I just don't understand why he's going to the trash pile so fast.
I will say, too, even as a rebuilding team, what is Jones, 27, 28, something like that?
28.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it says on this site.
But I'm saying, as a quarterback, I think he could hang around. He could be good for another three, like what he is anyway, in terms of when I say good. Like
yeah.
for another 3, 4, 5 years, like he could, if I'm rebuilding, which I am, he could still be good by the time I come out of it. Cause I don't plan to rebuild for like 4 years. So,
yeah.
So I could even keep him, but I also feel like like I said, if I want to, I could absolutely flip him for more than this in 6 months.
Yeah. All right. It's time for a palate cleanser.
Oh. Outhouse trade of the week. Outhouse trade of the week. We're going to talk about a trade addict's trade, whichever one Rusty decides.
Yes, Rocky.
Now, actually, I'm gonna let you say the trade first, then I'm going to say what I was going to say. Yeah.
The trade is Josh Allen, Ricky Pearsall, Michael Pittman for Emeka Ebuka, the 104, which became Jordan Tyson, the 210, which became Ted Hurst, the 211, which was Kalen Black, the 212, which is Chris Bell. Someone took Hurst, Black, and Bell in that order just to mess with this.
It was the guy. Like, he kept all the picks and took him in that order.
So to say them all again, it's Allen, Pearsall, Pittman, Furubuka, Tyson, Hurst, Black, and Bell. Go ahead.
I'm going to let Tony talk about the trade, but I'm just going to say I joked about it earlier, but I always say to not buy elite quarterbacks because of the price. But if this is the price, buy elite quarterbacks. Yeah. But you talk about it, Tony.
No, like, it's Josh Allen side for me. Like, Ted Hurst, Kalen Black, Chris Bell, I don't care about that. Those are dart throws that might hit. Jordan Tyson, I get. Ibuka fell off at the end of the year last year. Josh, I'd trade all those guys just for Josh Allen.
I was literally gonna
make that comment too. And you're getting Pearsall.
Pearsall and Pittman are a bonus.
Yeah. So yeah, give me that side easily.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't like to buy elite quarterbacks, I'm buying an elite quarterback every day of the week for this price. This is not enough for Josh Allen, not by a lot for me.
Did someone have too many picks and just not know what to do with them? Because, I mean,
yeah, it's
I guess weird. It's two different sides.
I think, well, you, yeah, I mean, I, the guy, I mean, well,
because the I guy mean, who
if I have that many Jones picks, I'm paying picks. Them for Josh Allen. My thing is, that, what is the guy with Josh Allen doing? And I think he just wants to rebuild and is just, I, because he's also the guy who sold Daniel Jones, by the way.
It is the same guy. Okay, yeah. So that
and also I feel like undersold on Daniel Jones to me. So okay. I feel like he's just trying to rebuild and get picks, but he's not getting enough.
Yeah, he's also taking a million receivers.
Yeah, this isn't the class.
He took Jeremy, Ibuka, Tyson.
Exactly. Hurst, also, and especially Bell. In this class. But even if we're not wasn't this class, I don't think any of these picks is good enough anyway. Like to just. For either Daniel Jones in that trade or Josh Allen in this trade.
I'm now thinking about this because Tone said it. Add 207 and 303 to the Josh Allen trade, too. I'd still do it.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I this even is so Ed Buka, like, I like him, but he tailed off a lot last year. Like, that's not even an elite enough player asset to go along with those picks to even make me think about it.
Yeah.
Sorry if the person who made this trade is listening.
Yeah. They probably are. Yeah. We're not going to name
them. I felt bad halfway through, too. I was like, oh, man.
Oh, come on. If you make these trades, I've been roasted on this podcast. So, yeah. Whatever. If you make this trade, you're allowed. We're allowed to talk about it. Okay. TA8. Another just beautiful trade.
Yeah,
this Rashad White for the 306, 310, and the 403, which became Surratt, Claiborne, and Coleman.
I mostly put this on here to just for the idea of, do you give a crap anymore about Rashad White?
Yes, no. I do, I actually.
Yeah. See, well, there you go. There's got different opinions.
Yeah. Because I think there's a world where we just put Bill in the trash pile next to Daniel Jones, and it's Catron Allen and White.
I'm kind of with you. Like, I don't love Rashad White or anything, but for two mid to late thirds and a fourth, I'll take the shot.
Rashad White could catch 40 balls this year.
Yeah, especially if Jaden Daniels rebounds and the whole offense is better. I mean, he's probably, I mean, like you said, he's going to be, I think, to me, Bill is a non-factor. I'm sorry.
But. Yeah, I don't know why we keep – I don't know why – and I keep saying we. Like, the fantasy industry is saying, like, Bill's going to win this. Like, why? What did Bill do last year that makes you think that?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm maybe he'll prove me wrong. But, yeah, I had very high hopes for Bill last year, and he continued to disappoint me week after week. He had, like, one good game, I feel like, the entire season in terms of fantasy scoring.
So I'm looking at Austin Eckler, and I'm not saying Rashad White is Austin Eckler, people. I'm not saying that. Eckler in Jaden Daniels' rookie year caught 35 passes on 41 targets, and we're saying White just can't do that. I think White
can
do
that. Yeah, he absolutely could.
And if that's the case, he's startable. Like he's playable.
And what we're talking about is 2/3 and 1/4. So
yeah, right.
It's not like you're giving up a second for him. So
no,
I'm kind of with you that he's worth a shot for this price.
Yeah,
I don't care for White, but I would still take White in this side for the exact reasons you guys just laid out.
Yeah, I think trading White away for Surratt. I mean, even I'd rather have White.
By the way, with the next trade too, I just have to. I don't know what was in the TA water this week. That's all I gotta say.
In the what?
I don't know what was in the water. The TA water. Yeah, like these trades are.
Oh, was Tyler, I'm sure, who owned every 3rd and 4th in this draft.
Yes, but to me, this was. Well, I'll say what the trade is first.
Okay. It's Zay Flowers for a 27-second Max Clair, the 401, which became Jacoby Lane, the 404, which became Heidenreich, and the 405, which became Talen Green. Talen Green going behind Lane and Heidenreich is bananas to me, but that's fine. What was your context?
Just that to me, this is so ridiculously Zay Flowers, just like some of these other trades were. Landslide. Very much. I don't know what's going on in TA land this week where
there's a 27 pick in it.
We're getting I'm talking, there's like three different trades where I'm like, what was the one side thinking? They're more a little more lopsided than usual to me this week.
I mean, go ahead, Tony.
All AFC North trade pretty much here.
That's true.
if we wanted to make the case for it, if I had to. There are a lot of people who like Max Clair and think he's going to be the number one tight end in LA. I don't know why you would think that after the last four guys who they've taken in on day two tight ends haven't done that. But for some reason, Clair's different for the sake of this argument. And you get a 27-second. That's the whole thing. The fourths don't matter to me.
Yeah.
Like you have to be dang sure that Clair is a top 12 tight end this year, and I'm not at all.
And I just think this is like, I think people forget, like, Zay Flowers, especially at the beginning of the year when Lamar was healthy, was playing like very well. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Lamar was not healthy the rest of the year, even when he came back, and he struggled. So, like, I get it might be tough for someone to part with your precious 27 first for a Zay Flowers type. But he's worth significantly more to me than a second, and like none of the rest of these pieces matter to me.
No.
Yeah,
I think Clair was more of like a next year type because they're going to lose. See who they're going to lose: Higbee, Parkinson. They're gone, so that lets them run 12 still.
That means there's only 4 tight ends left.
But it's really Clair and Ferguson there, and then the two other guys that are UDFAs or signed off the street. So.
Yeah, that's fine. It's Flowers easily.
It's Flowers.
Trying to make the case.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And it was Tyler throwing all these picks. But he was, throwing all the picks to get.
Can we stop giving Tyler stuff? I know I did it too, but like, good God. His team is good enough as it is. Can we stop giving him stuff like this?
You didn't see the beautiful trade I made with him that is not on the sheet, which was.
I did one. And then
Darnell Mooney for the 4/12 and 25 fab. That's such a Tyler trade.
It is a Tyler trade. He offered me that no less than 3 times over the last couple weeks,
and I only did it. He's probably offered me Darnell Mooney like 20 times over the last year, and the only reason I did it is because I didn't want to pick anybody at 4/12. So I said, "Sure, Tyler, here you go."
What did he give me? Oh, he gave me the 2/11 for Chris Rodriguez and then 28 3rd and 4ths. And I don't know what I did with the 2/11. I saw something clearly I liked. Oh, I took Allen. Perfect. I told you I don't remember my drafts. So, that's fine. I'd do that. And then he told me I'm free from having to discuss 28 3rd and 4ths for the rest of the season. So, that's good. I said it's a win-win.
He loves to trade for the 3rds and 4ths, and he loves to throw 3rds and 4ths.
I'll give him
things.
That. Yeah, I'll give him that. He works harder than most.
Yes,
in that league, and just in general.
And sometimes it gets ridiculous. Like I think we had a cascading thing on the pod a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Where he ended up trading like something for a second that he then turned into first within the same draft, like future first in the same, within the same set of picks in this year's rookie draft was going on.
Yeah.
Like he turns 27 second into a 28 first or something like that. Yeah.
Somehow. Yep. Makes no sense. Anyways, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Tone, for coming back on. Before we head on out, why don't you post your socials again? Where people can find you.
Yeah, Tony Perez 34 at bluesky.social. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to help you. No problem. Just send me a DM or tag me. No problem.
And Tone is also in you're in the Cool Kids Club, right? You are,
yes.
Right? If not,
yes.
We have fixed that.
Yeah.
So you can find him. We do patreon.com/JoeXPod. You can watch this while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Before I get to Fantasy Cares, show stuff. Rocky and I have been discussing for the last couple weeks. I am going on my honeymoon out of the country in the second half of June. So given everything just going on, you know, life-wise for Rocky and I, and the fact that it's the second half of June. And
it's a pretty dead time.
Dead as a doornail. So we're going to take a few weeks off. So we will be off. I need to pull up the dates real fast. We are going to be off the 16th, 23rd, and 30th of June, and then we'll be back after the 4th of July weekend to break everything down. But as I mentioned before, I think Rocky and I could take those 3 weeks off, and I think we're going to have 6 trades total.
Even if we pull every trade from when
One new story that I made up to talk about. So we're going to take a couple weeks off. It's just for the sake of my now marriage and everything Rocky's got going on in his life. We're going to take off a couple weeks in June. So that's I'll remind everyone as we get closer, but we have a few more weeks. We have Haywood Almanac next week. We have Dave Kluge and then Andrew Loophole after that, I think, to close it out. So we have a few more weeks of shows before we head off to our hiatus, but I'll remind people as we get closer. Of course, the most important stuff is Fantasy Cares. Zach Reed Rookie Report is live as people finish up their rookie drafts. Trivia on Tuesday nights and the Wednesday night hangout. I would not be surprised based on how much I've been kind of lurking around the hangout lately if Scott drops SFB scoring in the next couple weeks. I would not be surprised. So, because I think the first live draft is like mid-June, so they got to figure it out pretty soon here. So they will – Scott has said whenever they do decide scoring, it will probably be on the hangout. So everyone go check it out on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel. And that is it. As Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.